Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down to the field. He's got Cruz. 35-30.
Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. That's your telephone number. Paul Dottino, John Schmelk with you talking Giants and NFL football for the next hour right here on Giants.com. And why are you laughing?
Because I just realized by looking at our monitor that we truly are the Blues Brothers today.
Yes, we are. Well, we are the Giants. Giants blue. It makes sense. You slightly darker than me. I imagine you'd be getting your Nike 5s, it looks like.
Yeah, I got one in this morning. Did get one in this morning before the show. I was going to wait till after, and then I decided to get it done early.
All right. Well, here we go. I should bring up one thing, by the way, before we get to our topic today, which is ranking the defenses in the NFC East. So I think it's an interesting conversation because I'm not sure any of the teams in the NFC, their strength is really their defense, Paul. So we'll get to that in a second. But I want to address a story that's kind of been flying around, and it was reported yesterday, I think, by a radio station in Denver that the Broncos and some aspects of the organization put feelers out there to try to trade Peyton Manning to the Houston Texans sometime in the offseason. And I think a report just came out that they might still be engaging them in some way, shape, or form. I just thought it was interesting. Considering the amount of money that they're going to be investing into Marius Thomas, who's under that franchise tag, obviously. I mean, there's a lot going on here, Paul, and I just think it's interesting that a guy like Peyton Manning could be on his third team to finish his career. Usually that sort of thing doesn't happen. I just thought it was an interesting report and something I thought we could talk about off the top here.
Well, let me just ask you this, flat out, John. If you're Peyton Manning, do you really need to be making another change like this? I don't think it's something he probably asked for. My guess is if this is happening, it's probably because the Broncos want to get younger. I can't think of any other reason why.
Here's the interesting thing to me. If you take Peyton Manning off the Broncos and you have Brock Osweiler as the quarterback, you compare that team to the Houston Texans with Ryan Mallett, or whoever ends up, you know, Brian Hoyer, whoever ends up winning that job. Which team's better this year?
Well, the Broncos went into the offseason thinking they only had to tweak things to have another chance to go into the Super Bowl.
I agree, but a lot of that's because of Peyton Manning. And
right.
They lost Julius Thomas.
So if you change that equation and take him off of that team, I'm not so sure that they're just a tweak away from going back to the AFC Championship game anymore. I think they're a lot further away than that.
Oh, well, absolutely. And here's the thing. Arian Foster's better than any running back on the Denver Broncos. Houston Texans defense is certainly better than the Broncos defense, no?
Especially if they're healthy.
DeAndre Hopkins had a monster year last year, coming on strong as a Houston wide receiver. Now, is he Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders? No, certainly not. Would Peyton Manning have the weapons in Houston that he would have in Denver? Certainly not. But the running game, the defense, all I'm saying – is that the Texans with Manning might be better than the Broncos with Manning. That's all. That's my only point. I would have to look at the rosters a little more closely, but from the quick outside looking in, the Texans might have a more complete team around Manning than the Broncos do.
I've also read in the offseason that Brian Cushing says he feels sensational and is expecting to have another monster season. So, I'm with you, John. I think you raise a great point. I think the argument is valid.
That's interesting.
I'm just trying to figure out why Denver wants to, if this is true, why they want to off him. I have to just think they just want to be younger because there's no other reason to do this, John. None.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it. I think it's strange. I think it's amusing.
And why do it after the draft?
Yeah, you know, there's just so many strange things. Now, again, the original report here came from a radio host in Denver. So he could very well be talking right out of his ear. This could all be nonsense. But you know what? The players aren't here. There's no new news. And you got nothing to talk about on a late June day. So why not bring it up? How you doing? Anyway, let's get to our question. I already got three calls on the lines. I'll get to you guys in just a second. I want to set the stage here. Yesterday, Lance and I talked about the offenses in the NFC.
Yes.
And we kind of ranked them as Dallas 1A, Giants 1B, with the potential to be better than Dallas if their offensive line comes together and plays well.
Fair.
Eagles at 3 and Redskins at 4.
No problem with anything you guys just said because You know, I personally believe that the Redskins are on a separate planet here, aside from the other three teams in the division.
Right.
Regardless of what you think the Eagles are, because I don't know what the Eagles are, and I don't think you do, and I don't think those folks do either. Because
tell me if Sam Bradford's healthy.
Yeah, I can't. I can't. So, but having said that, they're an unknown.
Yep.
So I put them on one island. I put the Redskins on an island that's taken on a lot of water and quicksand.
Yep.
Okay? And then I put the Giants and the Cowboys on another island that says, hey, these two teams, if everything goes really well for either one of them, they're the division champ.
And here's the way I look at it, too. You know, both teams obviously have excellent quarterbacks. And regular season-wise, I think Eli and Romo are probably around the same level. You talk regular season overall numbers. They're very similar quarterbacks.
Understood.
You got Dez Bryant, Odell Beckham Jr., very similar. You take a look at the rest of the receiving core. You know, Cruz and Randall is better than the Cowboys 2 and 3, but the Cowboys have Witten, which is better than any Giants tight end. So that evens out a little bit. Fairly similar.
Yeah,
I think the Giants, honestly, right now have a more stable and settled crew of running backs than the Dallas Cowboys do. But the Cowboys have a much more put together and better offensive line at this point. So I think you look at the units. If the Giants can ever get, if the Giants offensive line can come together and be a good unit, I think they have the potential to be a better offense than the Dallas Cowboys. I honestly do.
Well, I think that's possible because, you know, you just refer to the running backs, and I agree with you that looking at the running backs in a capsule, I'm going to say right now I like the Giants running backs better than Dallas's.
And I think
in a capsule.
And I think it's Vereen that gives the Giants the edge.
Yes.
Because I don't think Jennings, McFadden, I honestly think there's not that big of a difference. I think Jennings is a better receiver, probably a little less injury prone, though Jennings has had his issues in the past too. They're about equal. Joseph Randle, Andre Williams, you know, whatever.
I'm
going to
favor Williams there.
Fine,
but Vereen,
a little bit. But Vereen is to me what sets the Giants apart.
No
the
doubt.
Cowboys don't have his day. Lance Dunbar is their Shane Vereen, and he ain't no Shane Vereen.
No. But here's the equalizer.
Right.
We're talking about the running backs in a capsule. You mentioned the O-line.
That's
because
the
there's a lot dependent upon that O-line.
Right.
And those running backs will tell you each and every time they're not getting their job done if those guys up front don't do it. So, yeah, great question, John. I understand the debate. And quite honestly, I still think, as we've talked about also during this show over the course of time, there's going to be some tweaking going on with these rosters. And we know the Giants have had people in. Jake Long came in. They talked about that. You know, I'm not so sure that even the line we see right now is going to be the line that opens week one against Dallas.
We'll find out. That'll be one of our 30 questions in 30 days, honestly.
I'm sure it will be.
Questions. So we'll get to that in July. But, Paul, let's talk about the defenses because I think this is interesting. All the defenses in this division have seen a lot of changes over the past few seasons, over this offseason, rather. Dallas has made a lot of additions, a lot of changes, a lot of unknowns there with the Greg Hardy suspension. The Giants, a brand new defensive coordinator, young safeties, you know, additions at linebacker with JT Thomas and Jonathan Casillas, defensive line additions as well. You look at the Philadelphia Eagles, they have made a decent amount of changes on that defense as well. And then the Redskins, Jim Haslett's no longer there. So you're going to see a lot of changes on their defense this year. And I think, especially when it comes to the Eagles, Giants, and Cowboys, those teams are built around their offenses. That's where the focus is, generally speaking, with those teams. How do you see the defenses in this division shaping up as we head towards the regular season and training camp?
John, they all have questions, as you just said, but I'm going to go with the Giants having the edge over the other teams for a couple of reasons. I think by far the Giants have the best pass rusher in the division. You know that Greg Hardy is going to miss some time. We don't know how much, but he's going to miss some time. And
how about Ryan Kerrigan?
Kerrigan's good, but I don't see him in JPP's caliber.
Fair
I
enough.
Just don't.
Just ask him.
And I mean, look, we know what JPP did last year with his 12.5 sacks and his 70-something tackles. Kerrigan, he's... He's not.
Kerrigan has never reached the peak that JPP was at when he was at his best.
No.
I think Kerrigan's probably been a little more consistent, but I don't think he's ever hit
hasn't
the
been
peak
hurt.
That JPP has.
Hasn't
absolutely
been hurt.
True.
And did you see again, Jason is throwing up some more stuff on his social media about the workouts he's doing. He's breaking his behind big time. And I believe him, folks. I'm going to tell you flat out. I don't need to see this. I believe him.
I would believe him without seeing the social media.
Yeah.
I could put up a 10-second vine. It looks like I'm working my butt off, too.
This is true.
I mean,
this is true. But I
wouldn't be smart trying to negotiate a long-term contract, vining out 10 exactly. seconds and I'm watching a movie, eating tortilla chips on the couch.
Or playing billiards.
Yeah, exactly.
Boom,
right.
Boom, side pocket. I believe in him. I think he's healthy. I think he's motivated for a long-term deal. And I think JPP is going to come back and have a terrific year. And he will be the NFC East Defensive Player of the Year. I'm going to say that right
okay.
now.
I
How about I do
fair.
That? Okay.
Now, okay, well, let me ask you this. I think that's an interesting point, and let me expound on that. Who else in this division you think would be in the running with him for Divisional Defensive Player of the Year? How about Malcolm Jenkins from the Eagles, safety? Got a shot? Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, Michael Kendricks? Any of those guys?
Not feeling those guys. I'll tell you, a guy
Sean
who
Lee,
would.
Dallas?
The two guys on Dallas, and I'm putting Hardy out of the equation because of the games he's going to miss.
That's fair.
The two guys on Dallas who could contend for that job if everything's right for them, McClain and Lee.
Okay.
If Lee's healthy, he has a chance to be the best defensive player in the division, if he's right. But, John, he's had some big-time injuries.
I mean, my goodness.
Okay.
I would put Sean Lee in the same category as with Beeson.
Yes.
They're very similar.
Yes.
Absolutely. In terms of their injuries.
So that's an issue. And McClain, if McClain's right, we saw the impact he had on the Cowboys' defense. He was very good for them.
And if you have McClain in the middle and Lee on the weak side, that's a pretty dynamic dual linebacker. Court.
Yeah. Yeah. There's nobody on the Eagles that absolutely sticks out for me.
Okay.
And as far as the Redskins are concerned, you mentioned Kerrigan before, and clearly, he is by far their best defensive player.
Tell you what, they have a nice little defensive line with Kerrigan as one of their outside linebackers, though.
Well, sure.
Stephen Paya from Chicago, Knighton they brought in, and Jason Hatcher's back. Those are and they have Ricky Jean-Francois, who they brought in this offseason, too. That is a nice, nice little defensive line.
Knighton's a very good player, but not an impact guy.
No, he's a
He's just a very good player.
Well, look. They play a 3-4 defense. You're going to have not going to have big impact numbers
no.
for defensive linemen in the 3-4. But
no.
their run defense could be extremely, extremely strong.
I'm down on Hatcher.
Well, he's been hurt.
You know.
He's been hurt.
He's been in the league a long time, too, now.
That's true.
He's got some wear on his tires.
He's 30.
Wear on his tires.
Old. I agree.
So,
right,
anyway.
So JPP, your defensive player of the year, why do you think the back end of the Giants' defense will hold up enough to be better than, say, the Eagles, the Cowboys, and the Redskins?
Well, because I believe very strongly in Devon Kennard's development. Mm-hmm. What I saw from him in December, I really think that he's going to take this linebacking core to another level. I really believe that. And look, folks, you never know. I could be wrong. But I really like Devon Kennard a lot.
That's fair.
And when you have an impact guy on the defensive line and a guy who's a real budding star in Kennard at linebacker, and you already know you've got the two corners established in Prince and DRC, and of course they were both hurt last year, but I'm not counting on them to get hurt again this year. So I'm saying, hey, two terrific cover corners. I'm going to live with the inexperience at safety because the Giants are going to have to live with it too. They're going to make rookie mistakes. They're going to give up some big plays. It's going to happen. But I'm going to live with that because I like the stuff around them. And if I can throw this in there, if you're going to let me, John, you may disqualify me on this. I'm a big Steve Spagnuolo guy.
That's fair.
Big Spagnuolo guy.
The coordinator
guy.
Has a lot to do with it.
So I'm saying the Giants will have the best defense in the division.
I'm going to roll the dice. I like the talent on the Eagles' defense. Now, there are a lot of questions here. Can Byron Maxwell come over and be as good as he was with Seattle? Eric Rowe, the rookie cornerback, how is he going to play? But, Paul,
well,
I really
Rowe and Landon Collins are in the same boat.
I agree. No question.
Right.
I really like Fletcher Cox. I think he's excellent. Connor Barwin played a lot better last year than I thought he would.
Ton of sacks.
He had a very good year.
Ton of sacks.
Michael Kendricks is an excellent player. If Kiko Alonso can stay healthy, he's an excellent player. And Malcolm Jenkins is a very good safety. And if Walter Thurman's healthy, by the way, that's another good corner on that roster. That Eagles defense, again, if it comes together, there are questions, injuries, etc., that could be a very good defense.
Alonzo's the guy, to me, who I would be most concerned about if I was another team.
Isn't it amazing? You got Alonzo, Lee, McClain even, I'll throw him into the mix, and Beeson all in the same division, four potentially impact linebackers that are big question marks because of health.
Yeah. No, you that and what a coincidence that is, too.
Isn't it?
It's wild. It's wild. Look, it's one of the reasons why this division is not really locked down. I mean, you're going to have a hard time convincing anybody across the board that, hey, this team is the favorite for the division. I just don't see it. The only thing I can pretty much say with certainty, and look, I guess I was wrong, was it 2 years ago when I said I didn't think the Eagles had any chance to win it. I don't think the Redskins have much of a chance to win it. I do think it's a three-team race.
I agree with that. I agree with you.
But anyway.
All right, we'll get more into this as we go along, but I got four calls on the line. I want to get to you at 201-939-4513. Luis in New Jersey will lead us off. What's going on, Luis?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Doing well, Luis. What's up with you?
No, Majay, I want to say something real quick. I want to thank you guys for such a phenomenal job that you guys have been doing this radio show.
Thank you.
I listen to you guys every single day, and sometimes my job as a United States Marine working out of here in Long Island can get pretty hectic. And just putting you guys on my phone and my auxiliary cord in my car, driving home from this commute with 495, just makes my day and life that much better. So I want to thank you guys for that.
Well, Luis, thank you for listening, being part of the show. If you guys weren't out there listening and, you know, keeping us on the air, we wouldn't be on the air. So thank you very much for calling in and listening to what's going on.
So I got two questions. One might be a little unorthodox, but besides the, this is the NFC East question. Besides the obvious opposing threats that we're going to have, that the Giants are going to have in this next upcoming season, who do you guys see as like some type of sleeper threat that these NFC East teams have?
Salute.
That maybe struck. Hulu. I was going to say something about Hulu too. Like, you know, Hulu, he's pretty productive, and sometimes he doesn't get that much credit, but he's a runner, and he will run you over. But besides Hulu, because Hulu's been out there, is this somebody in this last, you know, in the draft or the free agency that the fans might not have seen? Because I'm pretty sure the Giants know all the threats, but the fans might not have seen, you know, be one of those diamond in the rough and those sleeper threats that the Giants are going to have to oppose or defend.
Luis, are you talking specifically the NFC East or the NFC Conference in general?
NFC East.
Ooh, that's a good question. You know what? You know who I would be worried about that not a lot of people talk about because he didn't have a big name heading into the draft? Nelson Agholor, the Eagles' first-round pick. I could see him having a very, very big impact this year. I could see him leading that team in receptions. He's a nice fantasy football sleeper if you play fantasy football. I think Nelson Agholor could be a big-time member of that Eagles offense, and I think Zach Ertz is going to finally have his breakout year for Philadelphia as well. So if I had to pick out two guys off the top of my head, I think those would be the two. I mean, you want to throw maybe Joseph Randall in there as the Cowboys running back. If he beats out McFadden, he could be a guy. Lance Dunbar could be a change of pace guy for them that maybe could do something. And the Redskins, I mean, I already talked about their defense. Offensively, most of their guys are guys you've heard about. Maybe Jordan Reed, if he can stay healthy, could have an impact year this year. Who knows? He had a lot of concussion issues and things of that nature.
Yeah.
But I think those two guys in the Eagles, Ertz and Agholor, could really be two guys that will come out and make themselves known. You could throw Jordan Matthews into that mix, too, in his second year.
You know who he is.
Oh, for sure.
Matthews had such a good rookie season. He's no surprise to anybody. Agholor's the guy for me because, look, Macklin's gone. You know, right. They got rid of DeSean Jackson a couple of years ago. Macklin is gone now. So they're going to need, if Bradford stays healthy again, we're going back to that, they got to have somebody to catch the ball. So yeah, I could absolutely see Agholor being a big-time guy.
Definitely. Thanks for asking that question. I didn't really see that guy. I wasn't even thinking about it, so I got to ask this question. My next question, and I'll get off the air so you guys can take care of those other three or four callers you guys got. With the lineup, the offensive line that we have now, or what we potentially are going to have as a starting offensive line, what do you guys see are our most rushing games that we're going to have on the left side or the right side? I know it's kind of hard right now because we don't have really that much in the books or stating on who's going to be what. But what do you predict is going to be our left side or our right side?
I think right now, and I know you're probably going to laugh, I think the Giants' best run blocker off the bat might be your rookie, Ereck Flowers. I mean, he's that strong and powerful. I think he might be your best run blocker off the bat.
Wow. You know, typically you want to be strong side right. I mean, that's the way you want to be.
And you know what? You can do that. You pull Pugh from left guard. He's got the ability to move and run right. But Schwartz with the injury, and now you have Newhouse at right tackle. You know, I think just based on power and pure talent, I think Flowers might be your most powerful run blocker at this point, just because of his strength.
That and his frame. That's very possible. But
it's a good question. It's a really good question.
It is. But see, that presupposes that you're going to go straight on with your run game. The Giants are becoming more of a scheme-oriented run game in recent times.
A lot of stretch. A lot of zone.
So that says to me, maybe not, because John's right about Pugh. One of the reasons why Pugh is going to be a better guard than he was a tackle is because tackles have to anchor more than guards do. Guards, especially in the Giants system, will come out, and they do have to be able to get around and do those things. And Pugh's going to be really good at that. So, you know, I don't know that I can give you an answer. You know why? I don't know who the starting five offensive linemen are right now. I can tell you who they were in minicamp. But I don't know who the starting five are going to be opening day yet. I really don't.
Luis, thanks for the call, my friend.
All right, bro. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks for calling in. Thank you for being part of the show. Yeah.
And don't sell short either, because when he was in Kansas City, and the reason the Giants brought him here is because he showed to be a good power blocker at right guard when he was with the Chiefs.
And at right guard. And that's where he's settling in. That's what he considers his natural position. And so, I think he's going to be a very good player there, too.
Yeah.
But again, he saw him very limited in minicamp. He finally did some team stuff. If they're not really doing any team stuff in OTAs. And in minicamp, he did a little bit more. And I think that was good to see.
I agree.
201-939-4513. Let's go back to the phones. Max is in New York City on line four. What's going on, Max? Max.
Hello.
Max, you there? Marco? Is this Marco or Max?
Marco.
Oh, hey, John, it's Marco.
Hey, Marco, what's going on, man? Max, we will get to you next. Marco, what's up?
Not much, guys. I called up. I wanted to answer your question, and then I had a little something that I found some fun in doing last night that I wanted to run by you with our roster.
Sure.
I think just real quick point about Dallas and Philly with the defense. I think Dallas is – something that they have really going for them is Rod Marinelli, their defensive coordinator. I mean, last year they had some injuries, and he's a really solid coach. He got some guys that probably weren't pinpointed to have that much playing time, really play up to their ability last year. And they lost Sean Lee, and they lost to Marcus Ware. McClain came off the street and just played really, really well. So I would say as long as he's there – and now, you know, whether Hardy's in or not, you know, factor in Marinelli to what Dallas' defense is going to be about.
No, Marco, you're right. And I think Marinelli makes the Dallas defense by default very sound. They're not going to make a lot of big mistakes. They're not going to make a lot of big give up a lot of big plays, because Marinelli knows how to coach defense, and I think that helps. But in the end, if you want to be an upper echelon defense, you got to have the talent and individual guys to make individual plays. So, you know, can Hardy be that guy when he gets back? We'll see. Can Byron Jones, their first round pick, be that guy? Maybe. Can Randy Gregory be a good time, big time pass rusher on third and long? I don't know. So, the same way the Giants are waiting and seeing with Landon Collins and some of the other younger guys, the Cowboys are doing the same. And can you rely on Sean Lee and McClain the whole year to stay healthy? I think that's another question. I don't know. I don't think the Cowboys know either.
Do you know one guy right now, aside from Hardy, because we know he's going to miss some time? Is there one guy in the Cowboys right now you could say he's good for 10-plus sacks or 50 quarterback pressures or 25 or 30 quarterback hits? Who is the one dominant pass rusher on the Cowboys' defense right now that you got to worry about as an offensive coordinator? Who is it?
Well, I think there's a question mark, but I think they hope it's DeMarcus Lawrence, the kid they drafted last year out of Boise State. But, again, it's a huge question mark. So if Hardy's out, then it's a collection between Gregory and Lawrence, and I would have to really look at Dallas' roster to give you a better answer.
All right, well, let's say this.
Tyrone Crawford's another guy. He's a decent pass rusher out of that defensive tackle.
Gregory moving to linebacker, to me, I'm not buying it, and he's going to have a lot of problems as a rookie.
He's not playing a linebacker for them, though.
They're not going to put him in linebacker? They're going to put him at defensive end?
He's a defensive end.
Well, let's see as an undersized defensive end what he's going to be able to do.
I don't think he's starting for them, though, either.
He's not going to be a situational pass rusher. He's not going to be much as a rookie, I don't think. I think he's going to have to be one of those guys who you're going to have to grade him down the road. Don't grade him as a rookie.
I could totally see that. I mean, in the end, he was a second-round pick and a late second-round pick. So, I mean, you can't expect too much too early.
Now, I think if you mentioned Lawrence, I think he's good. I like him. But I think he's better as your 1A pass rusher. If Hardy was there from opening day and now you got both of those guys – Just like they used to say with the Giants, oh, you know, Strahan was taking the attention away from OC, or OC was taking attention away from JPP, and that allowed him to do what he did. Well, now, guess what, Mr. Lawrence? You're number one.
So you're telling me DeMarcus Lawrence can kind of be Charles Johnson, getting help from Greg Hardy, but he can't be Greg Hardy taking attention away from Charles Johnson.
That's it.
Fair enough.
That's it.
I'm not buying it.
All right, what else we got, Marco?
Okay, well, so last night I was I went through the roster, and I came up with about 60, I think between 65 and 70 players that I thought had a really, really good shot to make the 53. And then from there, I went through it, and I started making some cuts. And then I also put together a practice squad. And I won't bore you guys with what my practice squad looks like, but
The
toughest positions for me doing this last night were at tight end, linebacker, and safety.
All right, well, let me ask you this. How many linebackers did you keep?
I kept five.
Is Herzlick your fifth guy?
He is. It was between me and Casillas, and I ended up going with Herzlick.
And let me guess, you had trouble cutting it down to only four safeties.
Correct. I'm pretty high on Bennett Jackson, so I kept him. And Michael Thompson, I'm hoping can land on the practice squad. But
well, remember, Bennett Jackson should also be practice squad eligible if you think you can get him on.
This is true. This is true. So that can be an interesting battle. I felt pretty strongly about Jackson being a contributor on the 53 this year. And then tight end. And if you take some time looking at tight end. Daniel Fells, I heard what you said yesterday, John. I really like Fells. He's a veteran. He's dependable. He could do a little bit of everything. It's not easy because Jerome Cunningham, he's the diamond in the rough that some of the fans are asking about. I think he could be discussed in that capacity. I have Donald Cunningham, and I think Adrian Robinson might have life again on this team. I don't know, and I'm hoping Lacoste. If he has a great preseason, then there's an argument there. But again, practice squad eligible.
Hey,
what do you guys have to say?
Thank you, Marco. Appreciate it. And you know, Paul's mentioned LaCosta, and I'm not going to have him go through that again, but he's done it a million times. But I think Will Tye's actually shown a little bit of something too with his hands. Him and Ricky Stanzi have connected a lot in these practices.
With Donnell in the boot for most of the spring, now he did get rid of it for the final day of minicamp, but did not play, did not practice.
Yes.
All of the tight ends that you mentioned and John just added Ty in there.
They all got a shot.
They all got in there with the first team.
And they all have a shot.
They all got equal reps.
Yep.
And Tom Coughlin is just looking for somebody to step up. We're going to find out in August.
This is why I'd be shocked if Fells wasn't on the team. I can't imagine they'll take the one guy that you know for sure. And again, I shouldn't say the one guy because you know what Larry Donnell was going to give you. He was solid. He started last year. But Fells is really, to me, the most complete tight end. You know what he's going to give you as a receiver. You know what he's going to give you as a blocker. Is he, you know, spectacular at either one? Maybe not, but he's dependable. And his numbers, and if you look at Pro Football Focus's rankings last year, they showed him to be very dependable. I would be shocked if they moved on from him.
Fells is a pro. He's a smart guy.
I know.
He's not going to make mistakes.
No.
And he's not the most talented physically, but he won't make mistakes.
You know how much coaches value that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, the only thing I would say to you here is that come out to training camp in August, watch the practices, because these guys are not going to stick around based on those preseason games. Tom grades every snap at practice. He grades every film room session in the classroom, and those grades carry a lot of weight, too. It's not just the preseason games. So I don't want you sitting back saying, well, Cunningham or Ty caught, you know, six passes in the four preseason games, and that was like, you know, the most of all the tight ends. He's a lock to make the team. Don't be so sure about that, because this competition is so open and it's so close in terms of no one is like, you know, Mark Bavaro here, okay, that anybody could win it, and it could simply be what does that guy do at practice every day that might give him the edge.
See, I would look at it a different way. I think the preseason games are going to be very important, but not because of the stats. The preseason game is the only time you can tell how well these guys can really block under fire against live competition.
Yeah.
And that's why, to me, the preseason game is going to be very important. But again, you can't tell that from the box score. That's going to be great off of coach's tape. 201-939-4513. Max in New York City is up next. Max, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Doing well, Max. How are you?
Good. Quickly, before my question, just to answer your previous question, I think in fairness, you have to say the best defense in the East. I think it is Philly. Definitely there's question marks, but I think they definitely have the upper hand defensively. I like Kiko Alonso a lot. I think they have some good players there. My biggest thing, and I was going to ask you guys, is for me what puts the Giants over some of these teams is the way they did their offseason. Because if you look at Philly's, it's tough to really say they made big additions, because to me it was really just replacement. You know, you lose Kerry Williams, so you sign Byron. You lose trade LeSean, I should say. You get DeMarco. You lose Macklin, and then you draft that one guy. So to me it's almost like, I don't want to say they evened themselves out, but they didn't really make big additions in that. They weren't adding much. They were simply replacing. In Dallas,
that's interesting.
Everyone thought they were going to do that in the draft on the running back side of the ball, and they simply didn't. So that's where I look at the Giants maybe ahead of these guys is they didn't lose a lot, and anything they got was almost extra, especially the Josh Schwartz.
Well, you know, you're talking about rosters. How about just having Spagnuolo here to help out this defense? How about that as a key addition? He might be the most important addition defensively in the division, and he's not a player.
That's true. I agree with that.
So
I appreciate it, Max. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
You know, I'm sitting here. I'm trying to think of an argument to argue against Max there. But defensively, I mean, they lost Alonzo Roll. You can make the argument they replaced him with Landon Collins.
Well.
I'm just taking his argument. I'm applying it to the Giants.
Okay. Go ahead.
Right?
Go ahead.
Linebacker, you lost Paysinger. You lost Jaquan. You replace him with JT Thomas and Casillas.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's, you know, close. Defensive line, you lose Kiwanuka. You replace him with Selvey.
Mm-hmm.
So, you didn't really sign anybody to replace Walter Thurman, per se. You think you have that guy in your roster with McBride.
Well, in a way, he kind of replaces him because he was out with injury all year last year. He wasn't here.
And then you have 00. I mean, he's a guy that is just a flat-out addition, I guess. I don't know. It's interesting. I didn't really think about it that way.
No, I haven't either.
And the Eagles did lose some guys on the offensive line, too.
Well, Mathis right now.
He's a really good player.
I'm still curious to see where he's going to go. Rosenhaus said the other day that there are 10 teams interested in him.
Well, it's Rosenhaus. So I seem to say 45 teams interested in him. You know?
I'm not going there.
No, he's a good agent, but, I mean, an agent's going to say that we have so many guys as possible.
Of course.
That's all I'm saying.
I am interested to see where he lands, though.
201-939-4513. I want to go to line one.
By the way,
yeah,
DeMarco Murray can't be too happy that Mathis is gone.
No, probably not.
Right? When he signed with the Eagles, he's probably thinking, oh, this line's going to be, you know, kind of similar to Dallas. They got some pretty good blockers
there.
Well,
here's the key, too. I mean, it's great to say, well, they just replaced guys. Well, are the replacements better than what they had before? Is it the replacements are better, then the team's going to be better.
Yeah, but
are the upgrades?
That's not the case with the Eagles. I don't think along that line.
Depends on who you're talking. I mean, I can't say Aguilar is going to be better than Macklin off the bat.
No.
If Murray's healthy, him and McCoy are probably not too
they're
far
different.
Away from each
they're
other.
They're just different.
Oh, they're very different players, but they're both very talented. Absolutely. Defensively, I probably like Eric Rowe and Byron Maxwell better than I like Kerry Williams and Bradley Fletcher.
Yes, potentially.
It's hard to be. I mean, Bradley Fletcher.
Yeah, I know. I know. He was.
He had a rough year, Paul.
He was.
He had a rough, rough year. Anyway, let's go back to our phones. Line one. Jay is overseas all the way in jolly old England. What's going on, Jay? How are you?
Whoa.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hi. Doing well, Jay. Well, Jay, you sound like an American transplant.
I am. I'm stationed out here.
Oh, very good, Jay. Well, thank you very much for your service. What's going on?
What's going on? I just have like a two-part question, and I'll get off the line.
Yeah, go ahead.
I know, John, you were talking yesterday about the offenses that we have and how they stack up to other offenses in the NFC.
Yeah.
And it's always predicated with the health of Victor Cruz. Let's say what if, and I'm knocking on wood right now.
I heard it.
The Cruz is not 100%.
Okay.
How does our offense stack up against these other teams? And also, how many wins do you see us taking based on offense this next season? Thanks, guys.
Hey, I appreciate it. Okay. If you're telling me Cruz in your theoretical world, and I'll do that too, goes on PUP, misses the first six games of the year, plays the last 10, works his way into it, isn't really himself till, let's say, game 10. Just throwing out this theoretical world that we're living in.
Go ahead.
Okay?
Go ahead.
I would be surprised if the Giants' offense was at the level of, say, Dallas in the division. I think it'd be hard for them to get there.
See, my biggest question is not Victor Cruz. My biggest question is the offensive line.
Well, but a lot of people are now assuming, based on everything that's been said and, frankly, what people have seen, Victor's looked great. He's just saying, how much would an injured Victor Cruz, how much would it bring the Giants' offense down?
I don't think very much. If the O-line is improved and really good and gels and does what they need to do, then Victor Cruz or no Victor Cruz, I think this Giants offense could be really terrific.
Well, here's the thing, too, Paul.
Honestly.
And Lance and I talked about this a lot yesterday. If Tom Coughlin has his druthers, right, and this offensive line, like you just said, plays better, okay, you're going to run the ball a lot more.
It's the plan.
You get a more balanced offense.
Yep.
And Lance and I made this point to Ruben Randall yesterday, but I'm going to spread it to Odell Beckham and Victor Cruz, too. Those three guys could play better football on coaches' tape, graded out, than they have the last couple years.
Okay.
Yet, all three of their overall numbers might end up being down a notch or two because all three of them are good. The touches get spread out, and there are so many fewer pass attempts because you're running the ball more. So they might be more efficient and play better, but their numbers at the end of the year might not be as staggering because of opportunity.
I may have misunderstood the question, and I'm sorry if I am, but I don't think he was asking about necessarily a passing game question or a fantasy football question. I think he was just talking about the effectiveness of the offense, right?
Oh, no.
I'm
asking you a different question.
Oh, okay, because you confused me. Because if the running game and the power run game resurfaces here with the Giants, then absolutely some of those passing numbers and reception numbers are going to go down.
But the overall offense might be better.
The offense will be better.
Absolutely.
So,
correct.
And see, that's why, to me, Victor Cruz's health is not the biggest question for this offense. This offense, the level that this offense can achieve, is based on how well the offensive line does. That's even more important than Victor Cruz's health. Trust me when I say that to you.
What was the second part of his question?
I think the second part was how many wins or where do you think, how good can the Giants be if have a good offense?
Yeah, how many wins can the Giants – look, if you have a top – and I think the Giants can have a top seven. I mean, I believe they'll be top five, but I'll be conservative. Let's say they have a top seven offense this year. If you have a top seven offense, your floor in terms of – wins you should have should probably be around seven. I'd be surprised if there are any teams in the past, I don't know, 10 years that had a top five offense and had fewer than seven wins.
Let's put it this way. I don't know that I'm comfortable even putting a number on it at this early part of the year. I'm really not. But I will say this.
Well, but I'm not asking you to predict. I'm saying if they're that good.
Yeah. Based on what I'm seeing here, if things go well and they produce to close to the level that we think they can, the Giants are at least a 500 team. I do think they're going to be in the playoff conversation. And if certain things do fall the right way, yeah, I think they certainly have a chance to be a division winner. We described that up at the top of the show where we thought maybe Dallas and the Giants might wind up fighting out for the division title. I could see the Giants winning 10 games. Absolutely, I could. You know, but again, variables across the board in the NFC East that could go either way.
201-939-4513. Joe in Pennsylvania is up next. Joe, what's going on?
Hey, Joe.
Hello, Joe.
Hi, guys. Paul there, John.
Hi, Joe.
Let's see here. Who do we want to start with? The Eagles, you're saying their defense, their players and coaches and that think that are why their announcers and that think that they possibly might have the best front seven in the game. And
really? Did somebody tell the Jets that?
Well,
and the Bills.
And the Bills, for that matter.
I do recall the first game against the Giants. They were in Eli's face all day long.
Rams?
And they did. I think they were up there just about in sacks.
Rams got a
too.
Pretty nice line.
They figured Fletcher Cox was snubbed for the Pro Bowl. And what can we say there? Our ex-guy that went over, was it Bowman or so? I think he's going to be – they have him penciled in starting at safety, and they also – I think their – is it one of their first or second-round picks is going to be a safety, too.
Yeah,
so
well,
their big question is in their backfield, their defense. And I hope we can handle them. That's all. I think they played better team defense than us last year, and so did the Cowboys. I thought we had better personnel. And when we play the Cowboys, I hope Tony Romo don't have, like he did last year, with that won the game for him, a chance to bake a turkey back there like last year, because that's what won the game for him. I hope we can have our corners and
bake a turkey,
back
I like
up
that.
And put the pressure on them this year. You know, that Washington's cornerbacks, really, they were young guys. They really came through for him last year, too. So they're another year in, too. So.
Well, Joe, I wouldn't necessarily say the Redskins' corners came through for them. They played a lot of snaps, but by the numbers, the Redskins' pass defense and their corners, you know, were some honestly they were some worse in the league last year. Now I think they'll be a lot better this year because, like you said, they got a lot of experience and they're going to be a lot better. You're talking about David Amerson. We're talking about Bashaud Breeland. They bring in Chris Culliver from the 49ers, so I think they're going to be better players. I really do, but it's going to take a lot of improvement because they struggled a lot last year.
Yeah, I said, and with the Eagles, too, their observation I see and hear a lot of them, they don't even know if their quarterback's going to be there to start the season for them.
That's the trick.
They picked up from the Rams. Their two guards, they're gone, so they're going to have young guys starting at guards. What else? A whole lot, you know, another new receiver for them. So they have a lot of stuff that has to come together for them, you know. And I was looking at our team, too, our depth, and I just saying if I was Jerry Reese, just from what I can see now, our depth is going to be a lot with the offensive line, or not the offensive line, but the receivers, maybe tight ends and running backs that we may have to cut that other teams that may look, especially if they show a lot in preseason, you know, like Preston Parker, Harris, or who's the other guy that we have, the receiver there?
Corey Washington?
Yeah, coming on. I'm just saying the Giants, if we have injuries or something like that, I think I'd be looking at a lot like at a team that would have a lot of depth at cornerback that might have to cut somebody or offensive lineman or so to look and see, because if these guys show what they're through, what they have, these potential, and even these young tight ends of ours, that I'd possibly be looking to maybe try to trade them, you know what I mean, to pick up somebody, you know, a younger guy or somebody with that they have extra depth that, you know, they're going to trade.
Thank you, Joe.
That's about all.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for the call.
I don't think you're going to see any trades now. This is not a
– No trades. But
not a trade time.
But somebody during camp could let go. That could be useful.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean – the radar is out for anybody who can improve the bottom of the 53 for sure. There are guys out there now, and Evan Mathis of the Eagles is an offensive lineman who is available. And the only reason I bring him up is because what happens is in today's game, you know, you've got guys who maybe value themselves at a certain number. And I'm sure that Mathis thinks that he is deserving of a certain number.
Well, yeah. I mean,
and right now.
That's why he was mad at the Eagles, is $5 million wasn't enough.
And right now, it's unlikely that any team is going to just fork over the money he wants and give it to him tomorrow. It's probably not going to happen. They're probably going to wait. All the teams out there are probably more likely to want to wait to training camp and say, you know what, Evan? Take a chill pill. We're going to wait till we report. We're going to kind of see what we have. We're going to see what injuries we have. We're going to see what young guys we have. And then maybe we'll talk to you.
And quite frankly, that's probably going to be okay with Evan Mathis. At 30 years old, do you think he wants to go through 2 weeks of training camp?
Yeah.
I doubt it.
Yeah. No. And so, you know, understand there may be some useful players who are even on the street right now who are not signed up with anybody for various reasons. So you're right. I mean, there's going to be some movement. But in terms of trades, I don't necessarily think we're going to see those. They just don't happen.
And by the way, one guy we didn't mention on the Eagles' defense is Brandon Graham, a guy they brought back that they expect to play a pretty big role this year.
Yeah, well, absolutely. He's a legit player. There's no question about that. He's a legit player.
I think best front seven in the league is a stretch, but it's good. It's very good.
Yeah, it's good. I'm not intimidated by it, but it's good.
But the question is the secondary. Can Eric Rowe,
well,
Boykin, Maxwell?
I don't know the answer to
that. Jenkins and, you know, whoever I don't know if they're going to put Rowe at safety or corner. We'll see. But that, to me, is the question.
You know, the funny part about it, John, is everybody talks about, you know, offense, or they talk about defense. Remember, this stuff is intertwined. And a lot of times the Eagles' defense, because the offense was doing what they were doing so quickly. And, you know, Tom always talks about here with the Giants, you don't want to run the hurry-up kind of stuff because you get three and outs, and then you put your defense in a bad spot because they got to run back out of the field right away. I understand that. But, see, the way Chip Kelly runs his offense in Philadelphia, he wants to get into a track meet each and every Sunday.
And that puts your defense in a rough spot.
It really does.
Especially your front guys who get tired.
Yes.
Well, they're going to have to rotate.
And if you don't have a proven secondary, the bottom line is you're putting a couple of bowling balls on top of their shoulders. You are really putting a lot of stress on those guys.
You're right.
Because they're out there time and time again with a defensive front that's getting worn down, that isn't going to be able to rush the passer every single snap because they're sucking wind and they're puffing. You know, from a philosophical standpoint, this is why a lot of people don't believe in what Chip Kelly's doing. Some people think it's great. It's new to the NFL. It's wild. It's a novelty. Let's see what happens. And he's achieved some level of success doing it.
Oh, sure he has.
Over the long term, John, I don't buy it. I'm going to tell you flat out. I don't buy it.
Boy, Paul, not buying a new age football aired out system. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I can only imagine going into a time machine 20 years ago and you railing about the run and shoot. This 4-1 receiver throwing the ball thing, this thing's never going to last, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Power football.
You know what, though? The run and shoot was based off of the single back power running game because you had to have that first.
Lorenzo White.
To be able to use the four wides. We'll get Miles Davis on the phone. We'll talk about it.
All right, June Jones. Let's go to Andre in Brooklyn. Andre, what's going on? Did we lose Andre there? Looks like we did. Unless Andre sounds like a dial tone. Andre, give us a call back and we'll try to get you up, all right?
R2-D2's on the line.
Yeah, Andre, if you call right back, I'll make sure I get you up before the show. Let's go to Kenny in New York. Kenny, what's going on?
How you doing? This is Kenny from New York.
Hi, Kenny.
Hey, huge fan of the Giants. Huge, huge fan.
Thank you.
I love the guys. Love your show. You guys are entertaining when I do watch you on my mobile app.
Appreciate it.
Nice.
Nice. Thank you. From Miami's New York. Quick question. I just want to know. We know about Corey Washington, you know, 6'6 receiver, almost has like that Plexico Burris kind build. Are we going to see more of him in offense, more opportunities, like especially at the goal line, giving them jump balls opportunity?
Well, he's going to have to earn that. I mean, right now, he's not guaranteed a spot on the 53, even, John. He's got a leg up because he's been here. And he ran very well in the early part of the year during the off-season program and the mini camp and the OTAs with the first-teamers because you had a Beckham out with the hammy and you had Cruz coming off the knee surgery. So he got a ton of first-team reps and looked good doing it. But nothing's in stone until you get to camp here in August. So let's not put the cart before the horse. Yes, I think he's looking at a spot on the 53, but then how much he's going to get into that rotation, that's going to be about how consistent he is and how hard he works and how much he shows that he wants it. And it sounds like, and help me out here on this, John, because we talked to him. We were there the time he had the big media contingent around his locker.
They were using him more around the goal line in those type of situations.
That's what he said. And he also seemed to show some more maturity than
last year
as a rookie.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So it looks like the arrows are all pointing favorably in Corey Washington's direction.
Let's see it keep going.
I'm only going to caution you. That's all I'm going to say.
All right. And I have one more question. You think of Cruz going to get hurt, would Odell Beckham be the start he is today? Because I know Kaufman doesn't like to play rookies that much, but will he be a star that he is today if Cruz didn't get hurt?
You mean last season?
Yes.
Absolutely not. How could he?
Yeah.
Victor Cruz is going to catch 80, 90 balls. How could Odell Beckham Jr. have put up those stats if Victor Cruz was healthy?
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think it's out of the question if Beckham was healthy and showed he was a great player. He could have beaten out Randall for the other starting spot. I don't think that's out of the question.
He wouldn't have put up Pro Bowl numbers, though.
Well, I'm not talking about numbers. But
I think that was the question, though. He wanted to know, would he have been the star he is now?
Oh, I thought he said starter.
No,
would
not starter. Star.
Right
star, right?
Star. Yeah.
Star?
Yeah. Oh,
no.
Okay.
He couldn't have been.
I mean,
he never would have gotten the number of opportunities.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, if you look at his targets the last six games of the year, right. Kenny, his targets are off the charts. I mean, he got targeted 20 times in a game once. 20. I've never seen a guy get targeted like 15. I think I saw Calvin Johnson get 17 targets a game once or twice. Yeah. But 20 targets in a game? No, he would not have gotten those same opportunities if Cruz was here. And frankly, he probably shouldn't have. Nothing's wrong with that.
Yeah.
Right. Awesome. Well, that's all I had to say.
Thanks, Kenny.
Thank you. Love you guys.
Appreciate it. All right. Andre in Brooklyn's back, Greg. Let's go to Andre. Andre, you're our final call of the show. What's going on, bud?
Not much. I wanted to start out with this theory I have. It's kind of random. It's based on a caller.
Okay.
Anne, I think, from Virginia. Every time I hear her voice, I think that it's Kashawn from Maryland, and I can't, like, get that out of my head. So I don't know if she's a performing artist or something, but I really believe in my heart that it's Kashawn from Maryland putting on to be Ann.
Okay, well, Andre, let me say this. Kashawn's one of my favorite callers. If she has the talent to transform herself into Ann in D.C. and pull off those calls, she should quit her job, get on a plane, and go to Hollywood because she is the next star of this universe. Because, my goodness.
I got a better question for you. Why would anybody want to be Ann from D.C.?
I don't know. I don't know, but when I hear her voice, and considering they're from the same region, I feel like it's her. I don't know why. Her voice, it's the same voice.
By the way, you know, funny, and this is completely unrelated, Andre, I have another theory. I think Ann in D.C. is somehow intertwined in that whole government database hacking thing that went on. I'm not sure if she was in charge of protecting it or is investigating it. I think she's I'm not saying she didn't do anything wrong. I'm saying she's been assigned in some way, shape, or form to dealing with that issue.
Do you want to tell these folks when you're on again so she can call up and destroy you?
I love Ed. She's entertaining. I'm just busting her chops. She knows that. Well, all right, Andre, what do you got on the Giants?
I'm glad I got the dream team today. I just want to know, who do you guys think how many wide receivers can make this final roster?
Six.
I want as many as possible. I want to know what you guys realistically think.
I don't think you're getting more than six with maybe. I mean, you could maybe squeeze two onto the practice squad if the players are good enough.
Yeah, I'm with John on that. Six is the max. And quite frankly, again, understand if they do that, the six guy is not going to get a jersey on Sunday.
Right, probably.
He's not going to dress.
And Andre, we know who, and again, this is barring any injuries, we know four of the guys are going to be Cruz, Beckham, Randall, Harris. I don't think anybody else is guaranteed a roster spot.
Right.
That includes Jeremy Davis. I don't think he's guaranteed anything, even though he's a draft pick.
I think he's got
a leg up,
but he's got to prove it.
Oh,
he's got to earn it.
They're always talking about how great he is on specials and, you know, what an asset he is to the team. So I was wondering who's the odd man out because Preston Parker is so reliable. Even though I don't really, you know, I like the Corey Washingtons and the Ski guys, but you know, somebody's going
to
be the odd man.
Let me say this to you. If Jeremy Davis and Corey Washington are 5-6 or 6-5, however they wind up flopping,
it works.
That's a pretty darn good receiving core.
Oh, absolutely.
It is.
Okay.
And look, and Andre, I agree. I'd be surprised if Davis wasn't on the roster. But, for example, let's say Corey Washington plays out of his mind. And what happens if Preston Parker plays really well and Davis struggles? Look, I mean,
Sue Harris, also in the mix.
Harris, also in the mix. And if you took a look at the draft projections, you know, Jeremy Davis was always projected as a late day three pick. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's what he was projected to be. I wouldn't be surprised if they were to get him onto the practice squad. I mean, I think there's at least a 50-50 shot. Again, if they decide to go that route, they could get him onto the practice squad. I think there's a shot. Do I think it's guaranteed? No. But I don't think the Giants are going to hand him a roster spot again, he didn't play a lot of special teams in college. He's willing to do it and try and work at it. What if he just isn't good at it or struggles at it? Or I don't know. Who knows?
Here's the good news, okay? There are enough of guys here, contenders here. You should be able to find five or six really good guys by the time September, you know, first runs or rolls around.
Yes.
There have been other times here, and I've seen them, okay, where you were like, you know what? There's four good guys, and who are we keeping five or six?
Right.
Because there's not really much else to
and
look
Andre,
at.
And, Andre, the only reason I say I'm not sure if Davis is guaranteed a roster spot, that's not to criticize Jerry Reese's selection of Davis. That's to praise his ability to bring in so many other good, talented wide receivers that might push him off the roster just because of numbers. That's not a criticism. That's actually a praise.
Hey, Corey Washington was an undrafted guy. You know, remember that. He was on the street.
Corey Washington seems to be taking a similar path of Cruz did when he was up in preseason. Then he was, like, out for the year on IR. Then he came back the next preseason and did well.
I hear
then he got into the games. But thanks so much, guys. Appreciate you taking the time to take my call.
Hey, appreciate
Thank you, Andre.
All right, I got 2 minutes here, Tino.
Let's
see if I can squeeze in some tweets. You got something?
Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
By the way, somebody else tweeted to me, too. It's the same thing Joe said. I think the Eagles are playing Walter Thurman at safety. I missed that somehow? He's going to be the safety for them? Wow. I know Boykin's their slot corner, but Thurman is a safety. He better be their deep safety. He's not playing in the box.
I don't think his size could really be conducive to that.
I mean, I guess they could put Malcolm Jenkins as the strong, and they can have him play free.
I would probably say that's the way they're going to go. I don't remember reading that, but, you know.
I mean, Joe said it, Greg's heard it, and now one of our good tweets, Mikey Angel TV, has it too. So I guess that's true. I missed that.
You know, that's interesting to me because Walter Thurman was one of the best slot cover corners in the game a couple of years ago before the Giants got him. And those guys don't come a dime a dozen. Okay, you don't go to the supermarket and just pick them off of a shelf. What is it that the Eagles think that they have or don't have that they want to take a guy who's one of the best at his position and move him somewhere else? I would be curious to hear their philosophy on that because we know what Walter Thurman can do as a slot guy. I don't know what he can do as a safety.
No, neither do I. On Twitter, BBN Uncensored. P-Dot's laugh reminds me of the count from Sesame Street. Looks like him, too. And I'm not sure if you guys have heard this before, but that actually was Strahan's nickname for Paul.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
He, Strahan at that point had a young child, so he was watching a lot of Sesame Street, and he reminded of the count.
And
Paul Dettino.
Two baby black sheep. Three baby black sheep. I'll just help you get to sleep.
Oh, boy. At JCS 0-2008, P-Dot is right. Great offensive line play can take this offense to an unstoppable level. Nicholas Megna mentions that Evan Mathis missed a bunch of games last year. Eagles still ran the ball well. That is absolutely right. But
they did.
He was also a very highly graded defensive lineman as well. And Dwayne Kennedy mentions what you did, Paul. If Philly's fast-paced offense struggles, that could affect their D big time if they're on the field too much. That's absolutely true. Ben Gruen, do you take a lesser-skilled rookie and own their rights for multiple years or give spot to a vet who is in the final year of a deal? And that's when you're deciding who your final roster spots are going to be.
And, boy, that one really starts turning your stomach upside down when you're trying to make those final decisions at the end of the roster. And you say, boy, John, I really think this guy could be something if we can give him a little bit more time. And this guy over here could probably do a little bit more for us right now, but where do we go? And the Giants faced that very question, John, last year when they decided to get rid of Odonije and they kept Kerry Wynn. And how do you think they feel about that right now? I think they feel pretty good that they kept Kerry Wynn.
Oh, absolutely.
But you know what? Hard to argue. Odonije outplayed him during the preseason games last year. But the Giants were looking big picture. And they said, Kerry Wynn has got something here. We think he can be a good player for a lot of years to come. Odonije on the back end. Yeah. And as it turned out, he didn't get picked up anywhere either. But that's a great example of the question you're asking.
Javon Armstrong, and this has to be a quick answer because we're running out of time.
Sorry.
That's okay. Do the Giants have well, where do the Giants rank in terms of offensive line in the division? She thinks they might have the weakest offensive line in the division.
I don't know because I don't know who the starting five are yet.
Honestly, though, knowing who's in the mix, Paul, if you take a look at this Redskins offensive line, all right, you have Sheriff, who's obviously a very good player, and you have Trent Williams. Corey Lichtensteiger is a very solid center. You know what you're going to get with him if he's healthy. You know, Sean Laval, I think that's how you pronounce it. And then Spencer Long are the two guards. The Eagles' two guards are weak. They have, you know, Lane Johnson.
Well, Johnson and
Peters are good.
Peters are good tackles.
And then you have Kelsey, who's a pretty solid,
solid
center.
Center.
We know about the Cowboys' solid offensive center. Line. But I would say, frankly, I mean, I think the Giants are right there with Philly and Washington at this point. I mean, maybe a notch below Philly because we know how great Jason Peters is as left tackle. But again, until we know how this unit comes together, it's really, really hard to tell.
Dallas, undisputably top three offensive line in football. Many people think they're the best. I happen to think they're number one.
Did you see Jason Peters say he thought the Eagles' offensive line was better?
He's out of his mind. He's out of his mind. Dallas may, again, I'll give Dallas number one, but they're definitely top three. Who's going to give them lower than three?
I agree.
Okay, and after that, you got to jump off a cliff to get to the rest of the offensive linemen in the division because nobody is even close to being what Dallas can put up front. I mean, and honestly, that's okay because if you're in the mix with those other teams, that means you can compete.
And by the way, I should point out, folks, before we say goodbye, a scheduling update for Big Blue Kickoff. We're going to stick on noon every day, but the Giants just announced that they're closing their offices pretty much every Friday from here until the start of training camp. So no one's here, so we can't really do a show. They're doing a lot of updating, renovations, and things like that on the facility, getting ready for training camp. So they're kicking us all out of the office. So we're basically not going to have a show on a Friday for the rest of the year. They're also closing the office the Monday after 4th
season.
Of July.
Rest of the off-season. Don't say rest of the year.
Rest of the off-season, excuse me.
We'll be here Fridays
in
season.
For the rest of the off-season. Pardon.
Okay.
The office is also being closed on the Monday after the 4th of July.
Okay.
And the Thursday before the 4th of July.
So if I drive down here, I'm by myself.
I mean, if you want to walk around the marshlands around the facility, you can feel free. If you want to talk to a tin can on the way, a little styrofoam cup with the string, you can do that.
Could I mow the grass while I'm at it?
I'm sure Rob could put you to work out there. You can work on your tan out there.
Why not?
You would be... I'm not going to go there.
Okay.
All right, everybody, thanks for joining us. For Paul Dottino, I'm John Schmuck. Lance and Anita have you tomorrow. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next time.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Down to the field. He's got through. 35, 30.